Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome back to the Ferris Love Podcast. Today we are speaking with certified nutrition coach Lindsay Marie, who specializes in mental health nutrition. Lindsay helps women restore their happiness, energy, and well-being using targeted nutrition and focusing on the brain's natural feel-good systems. She will be sharing with us how our nutrition directly impacts our mood and mental resilience while providing some practical ideas that we can implement in our families. Lindsay, thank you so much for being on the show today.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
So we are excited to kind of take this a little turn in our stress and anxiety awareness month and kind of turn towards nutrition and mood and all that. So can you give us a little bit about yourself and how you became this certified nutrition coach?
Yeah, sure. So like you said, I'm Lindsay Marie, and I'm a mental health nutrition coach for women who want to naturally restore their energy, their happiness, their mental health, using nutrition. So I got into this world because 2015, so 10 years ago, I had three little boys who were about 4, 2, and just born. And I was completely depleted. I did not feel like myself. I was screaming in my pillow. I was yelling at my kids for being toddlers. My husband couldn't do anything right. Even though he was just trying to be helpful, it wasn't perfect. So it wasn't good enough for me. And I was just irritated and just really hating how I was treating the people that were the closest to me. And in turn, like having zero grace with myself and really was not okay with the trajectory my life was going when I had created this family and thought that motherhood was like my vocation and was going to be like my livelihood. And it's but sucking all the life out of me instead. And so I was doing all the things to try to feel better and nothing was working until somebody taught me about the power of neuronutrition. So really making sure that you're feeding your body the nutrients that it needs in order for your brain to fire these natural feel-good systems. So when I was chasing after therapy, chiropractor, eating 100% paleo, massage, date nights, vacations, you know, I was chasing after all those things to think those were going to try to make me feel better. While in the meantime, my brain chemistry wasn't along for the ride. So even though I wanted to feel happy, I wanted to have energy, those systems in my brain weren't firing because they didn't have the nutrients that they needed in order to fire. And so once I learned how to feed those systems, then I got what I wanted. Then I was like, oh yeah, this is what life should feel like. This is what it should feel like when I'm living my vocation, and why God put me here on earth. It shouldn't be such drudgery. So, after about 5 years, so in 2020, I was still feeling good. And I'm like, well, that was sustainable. Yeah. And I see lots of moms all the time, in, you know, Facebook groups or in play dates or whatever. And they're struggling with the same exact things that I was struggling earlier. And I kept telling them in these groups or in person, like, you really got to feed your brain. But like, I just know what I know to feed my own brain. I don't know what you need. And so then I got certified in amino acid therapy in order to actually know what I'm talking about and help these women that kept crossing my path. So that was in 2020, and I've been helping ladies ever since.
That's great.
Fuel those feel-good systems.
Yeah. Can you explain to us a little bit about that? I mean, acid therapy, what does that entail?
Yeah, it's really the crutches that we use when we know there's lifestyle adjustments we need to make to maybe change our diet. But, you know, you get in that cycle of, well, I don't have the energy or the focus or the motivation to go change my diet. I don't sometimes, like, more often than I'd like to admit, like, I talk to women and they're like, I don't feel joy. I don't remember the last time I felt joy, you know? And so when you're in that really deep state, it's hard to just like use sheer willpower to get through it. Willpower doesn't work. So the amino acid therapy really helps. It's just supplements. It's amino acid supplements and really knowing how to use them to get those feel-good engines to fire. So that it's like, even though your lifestyle might not be perfect right now, your diet might not be perfect right now, let's get you into a state of mind that can actually get you over this hump so you can create the life that you love, to give you the energy and some of that happiness and just find some pleasure in life and be able to relax a little bit so that you can actually make the changes that you want to make.
Excellent. Okay, cool. That's very different from, you know, some things we've heard before about, you know, diet and stuff. So I love that because, yeah, I think that's the hardest, sometimes the hardest part is just getting there, just starting, you know? And okay, so how does what we eat directly impact our mood and our ability to handle stress?
Sure. So the brain is like full of chemistry and your mood is the most, really the most honest way to tell if something is off. And so food is that, it's that raw material that your brain is going to use to make your feel-good engines, make all the chemicals to make these feel-good engines I'm talking about actually fire. So this probably blends into another question you'll ask later, but like protein, like the building blocks of protein are amino acids. So if I'm not eating protein, I'm not getting amino acids. And if I'm not getting amino acids, my feel-good engines aren't firing. So your food, if you're not eating protein, that's directly impacting your mood and ability to handle stress. If you're feeling off, you're irritable, you're anxious, you're exhausted, it usually means that your brain just isn't getting what it needs. It's not like something's wrong with you. It's a signal from your body that, hey, I'm trying to tell you that I need something. You haven't quite figured out what I needed. So you haven't put the right thing in your mouth yet to really get me to feel better.
Interesting. And so when you're talking about these kind of these deficiencies really of what you need, your brain needs to continue working well, what are some of those most common ones that affect our stress and like our mental resilience? Do you have any?
What are the most common? What
nutrient, nutrient deficiencies?
Sure. So I focus less on the general deficiencies and more on what our mood symptoms are actually revealing about the brain. So for example, if you're really easily overwhelmed, you're snapping at your kids, you're waking up anxious, what that's telling us is that you're deficient in what you need in order to create serotonin. So those nutrient deficiencies might look like, well, like it's always protein. That's always part of it. But there's also cofactors that go into making these neurotransmitters. So really looking at your vitamin C and your vitamin D and different minerals to make sure that you have enough of those in your body to just even convert your protein into the serotonin that it needs to be. So it's not so much about being low in magnesium or low in vitamin B in general. It's more about, what mood symptoms are you feeling and which nutrients are probably low because you're feeling that way.
Interesting. Okay. And you mentioned protein a lot. Is that, do you find that's kind of the thing that most people struggle with that you focus on?
Once we can connect the dots on how much it's affecting their day-to-day life, then it's not hard. What's actually hard at the beginning is that they believe that it could be that simple. So, I mean, there's a lot of times where I haven't even worked with someone for a couple weeks and they're feeling like so much better. We haven't even gotten into the amino acid therapy yet. And they're like, wow, eating protein every few hours really makes a difference. So walk away with nothing else after our talk today. Go grab a handful of protein and put it in your mouth. There's like stories of my peers where they work with people that will come into their office. And this one lady had been to like eight different practitioners before she came to the lady, my peer. And she's like, you're number eight. And she was like, what do you mean I'm number eight? You're the eighth person I've come to help me with my panic attacks. And like, I don't know what else to do after I see. I don't know what else I'm going to pass. What else could this be? And so she talked to her about protein and said, you know, scheduled an appointment for a week later. And she never came back because when she ate protein every 3 to 4 hours, she didn't have a panic attack all week.
Oh, wow.
So like it's, I worked with people who are bipolar, struggled their whole life with these mood symptoms. And it's not perfect when they eat protein every 3 to 4 hours, but it makes a noticeable difference in a lot of people. It's really the only thing that I tell people. Like across the board, like, you know, I wouldn't tell everybody across the board to take magnesium or to take vitamin B. Like, I just wouldn't. But eating protein and enough of it so that you feel like you know, listen to your body. Like in general, I say 3 to 4 hours when somebody's super depleted and stressed out. But yeah, listening to your body about how much protein it really wants and being disciplined about that is a great first step.
Yeah. And I know you work with a lot of women and probably moms. Do they take what they learn from you and direct it towards their children?
Absolutely.
Does that help?
Yeah. Yeah. And they can have, so like what I love about how watching these women and even my own experience is how once these systems start firing, the grace that you can have with yourself. And when you have grace with yourself, it's so much easier to have grace with your children. And when you have grace with your children, it's so much easier to be an example for your children and to teach your children when you're feeling good and you start looking at food more as like a curiosity instead of like a set of rules and like always correcting things. So yes, when mama works on herself and starts to make these connections and connect these dots, in her own mood, she starts to have more grace with her children when they are irritable or having a bad day. Wait a minute. When was the last time this baby ate protein? Did they skip a meal? And it's just a different awareness around it that helps us have grace with each other.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so talking about protein, but are there other simple ways, like just add a few more grams of protein in your diet? Are there other simple ways that parents can nourish their brains and their children's possibly for better mood, better balance, energy, and just like a better emotional kind of outlook on life?
Mm-hmm. So like I said, I don't give much broad stroke advice outside of protein, but just like starting small, stabilizing your breakfast, getting a lot at breakfast or even bedtime snacks, you guys. So bedtime snacks are okay for a lot of people, especially if you're waking up in the middle of the night. It could be because of a blood sugar crash and your fight or flight, your adrenals kick in the middle of the night because your blood sugar gets so low. So it's better to go to bed a little stable. So protein at bedtime is not a bad idea. And even just the way that we think, right? Instead of like, what should I eat? It's more about why am I eating this right now? Am I going to this because it's a habit? Am I going this because it's a craving? Is it trying to make, am I reaching for it because I want a certain feeling? Like at night, I'm going to go relax. So I need XYZ to relax. Some people, a lot of people need wine. They're like, my kids went to bed. I'm getting a glass of wine. What the wine is doing is firing your relaxation engine. It's firing your GABA. It's firing that feel-good system, but it's doing it artificially. This is how addiction works. So they go to it the next night, they go to the next night, and then their bodies get lazy. And they're like, well, I don't really need to create GABA or my relaxation engine anymore, because they're just going to drink wine at the end of the night. So really, like, being able to feed these systems is what is at the root of so much of the things we're beating ourselves up over. Whether that's, why do I keep eating this? Why do I keep doing this? Really asking yourself, why am I eating this right now? And when was the last time I ate protein? I'm really irritable right now, or my kids are driving me crazy. Are my kids going crazy because they also didn't eat protein? Like, think about like your kid's school schedule. Like, my goodness, my kid, I think, I don't know when they eat lunch, but it's before noon. And then they're not home until after 3 o'clock. They ride the bus. It's almost 4. And so they probably went 5 to 6 hours by the time they're off the school bus without eating. And then we're expecting them to be, you know, level-headed children. Like, it's not going to happen. So making sure that you have something easy for everybody. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect, but having something that your kids always know they can grab right when they get home from school, and even not making them, like, you don't need to eat because it's almost dinner time. Well, is that rule mm-hmm. really serving everybody, or should you just let them eat when they get home to give everyone a little bit of sanity before dinner?
Yeah, that's a great point too, I think. Yeah, and just considering what your kids are doing throughout the day. When you're thinking of healthy eating, you had done the paleo diet prior to finding this amino acid therapy. How do these kinds of diets and things affect our mood? Because mm-hmm. you said it didn't really help in the sense that you kept looking for other things. How do those things kind of affect our mood overall in general? And are there, you know, certain diets that are better for these kind of this production of, you know, the amino acids in order to get your body and your mood better? Or is it just like, you know, it depends on the person kind of thing, whatever.
Right. Yeah. It does definitely depend on the person. So even when I say eat protein, like, not all people can eat the same protein. Some people thrive on animal protein, and other people really, bodies don't love metabolizing animal protein. Yes, there isn't one diet. Like, so many people equate healthy eating, quote unquote, with like weight loss or eating clean or like having these restrictions on like, I really can't eat this. But you're almost going against your mental health in a lot of ways by doing that. Like I said, I did 100% paleo for a long time. I made sure there wasn't any food additives. It was all fruits and vegetables and meat and nuts and berries, no beans, no grain, no sugar, with children at home, like, hello, insert stress. That would make me feel better. And it's not that it didn't, like, I did have better energy. Like, it helped in some ways, but it was like kind of like a lot of things that I've tried. It's like, yeah, that feels nice in the moment, or that sort of kind of makes me feel better, but I'm not at 100%. Just the paleo diet didn't give me the relief I was looking for, because really I was missing the nutrients that my brain actually needed. Now, I had three babies very close together. Mm-hmm. So these babies are literally developing brains inside of your body. Mm-hmm. So they are sucking everything out of you, literally. Mm-hmm. And if you're not putting the nutrients back in your body, just because you don't know better, or because I can barely stand up. I can't do life right now or brush my teeth. So I'm not taking vitamins and I'm not eating right. And I'm just going to get through this pregnancy. Right. Mm-hmm. But my third pregnancy, I was eating paleo then too. So it was my biggest baby. I don't know if that was, you know, if it was serving me to eat that way or not. Maybe I should have ate different. I don't know. But I've just worked with a lot of women and myself too. We've done all the right things, nutritionally by the book, what we think is right, what somebody said, it like was logical. So we tried it. But if you're still feeling anxious, exhausted, if you're feeling numb, if you're feeling like the joy is sucked out of you and you can't find like the zest for life, then it's not working. Instead of pushing through and just like, well, it must work because it works for other people, it must work because it makes sense on paper, like, no, if it's not making you feel better, then just stop it and find some direction to actually like keep. I don't know where I'm going right now. You're gonna have to cut that part out.
No, you're good.
I'll clap or something so you know where I'm at.
I'm curious your thoughts too about you're talking about stress, anxiety, kind of some of these moods and these feelings are kind of can end up being very big. At what point would you say like your approach is a very preliminary approach to addressing these concerns? And then let's say this diet or this type of eating or mood therapy, like the amino acid therapy, isn't working. Would you then say, okay, yeah, now's the time to go seek professional help to see if this is a bigger issue than just your diet?
Sure. So actually people have come to me already on the drugs, and I don't know of anybody who's gone on the drugs after working with me. They haven't told me that if they have, but it definitely, it's a both and situation. So it depends how severe those feelings are, right? Like nobody should be thinking about ending their life and not like go and get help for that. But what I've learned in working with people who are on the drugs is that fifth grade level understanding of how these drugs work. Let's say you're on a SSRI or you go to the doctor because you're in this really low space and you get a drug. A serotonin reuptake inhibitor is really just trying to force the serotonin that you already have in your blood. It's trying to force it to stay in your blood. Okay. And they figure if you force it to stay in the blood, then there's more likely chance that neurotransmitter is going to fire because you haven't reuptaked the serotonin. It's left it in your blood. Problem with that is if you don't have enough serotonin to begin with, then you're only got so much to keep in your blood. And so if we work on supporting your serotonin, even when you are on an SSRI, it can help the drug work better. And then I've had people then truly go to their doctor and say, I kind of want to wean off my drug because now that I'm eating better and I'm taking these amino acids, I feel like I'm feeling better. The doctor can give you different strategies to back off the medicine. Mm-hmm. And people have been able to come off their medicine so that they have what the medicine was trying to do. So those medicines are all of the mood medicines are trying to alter one of these feel-good systems. Mm-hmm. It's so unfortunate that we don't talk about them the way that I'm talking about them, right? Like we think that the only way to manipulate these systems is to take a drug. It's like, no, God created these systems to work if we're feeding them correctly. Yeah. So yes, being able to support women in that way is actually really rewarding because they will come to me feeling like I'm even on drugs and it's still not working. And we can still make a dent in how they're feeling and give them that zest for life again.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. And I love that those anecdotes that you provided too, I think are so powerful to hear as well, that it's not an either or, it's a and then or whatever, that's mm-hmm. awesome. What are some virtues that are essential to maintaining this kind of healthy balance of nutrition, but then also like your mental self-care and just, mm-hmm. you mentioned, when you as a mother weren't able to, weren't feeling your best, then your kids kind of felt that too. And then they're not feeling their best. And then it's all about, it's a spiral. Can you give us some virtues or anything that you can think of that can help in that?
Yeah. So discernment comes to mind. So noticing how your body feels instead of blindly following advice, like I was saying before, like, well, it makes sense. This should work well, but is it making you feel better? Are you listening to your body? Are you listening how God created you? Just really discerning and noticing how your body feels. Another one that comes to mind is humility. Mm-hmm. So just being willing to pause and ask, like, what if pushing through isn't what's best? Maybe this isn't just a season that I need to get through. Like, what if I'm missing something? Mm-hmm. Is there something I'm missing? Or like, should I, just like being humble enough to ask for help, because mm-hmm. it's really hard to figure this stuff out on your own when your feel-good engines aren't firing like they should. Mm-hmm. So to have the energy is hard. To feel happy is hard. To be able to relax even feels like it takes too much willpower to relax, mm-hmm. So being humble enough to ask for help, and maybe you don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And then just stewardship, like caring for the body you were given. Mm-hmm. So you can fulfill your calling, your vocation, and do it with energy and joy, because mm-hmm. God wouldn't have given it to you if you weren't going to go after it, right?
Yeah,
so to be able to care for your body in a way to live out your vocation is good stewardship.
Love that. Wow. Okay, great. And final question just for you is, like, what words of encouragement do you have for parents who are stressed, who can't get out of that mindset and are exhausted, to prioritize mm-hmm. their own nutrition? What advice would you give them?
Really, if you're exhausted, it's not because you're doing anything wrong. It's because your brain just doesn't have what it takes to keep going and going and going. And you don't need more motivation. This isn't a motivation problem. It's not a more willpower problem. It's about restoring the chemistry that naturally creates the peace and the energy and the clarity to make what you want to do possible.
Nice. Excellent. Well, Lindsay, can you share with us where our audience and followers can find more about you, maybe seek your services or anything like that that you have available?
Sure. So the best place to start is my free mood checkup. So it's a tool that I created to help women figure out what their mood is actually telling them. So I'm sitting here telling you, like, follow your mood, follow your mood. I don't know how to follow my mood. I'm just angry. Why do I do it? Right? So if you fill out the mood checkup, it will help you. It will help show you how to follow your mood, right? And where those, which of those four systems, there's four feel good systems, which one might be needing the most support, and like some little things you can do to just raise more awareness and maybe boost it up a little bit.
Great.
Just give you the clarity you need if you've been feeling low energy, irritable, anxious, not yourself, basically.
Yeah.
So you can find that at moodcheckup.rebuildyourbrain.net. Nice. Or you can connect with me on Facebook. My name is Lindsay Marie on Facebook, and I run a group called Master Your Mood. So I'd love to hear from you if you're listening on what stood out to you today. And just know that you truly were fearfully and wonderfully made. And you're meant to go out into this world and live the life that God created for you and do it with zest and vitality and fervor and love.
Love that. Oh, thank you so much. And thanks for sharing this lovely, a very interesting topic about nutrition and the, you know, all the things that you discussed were, I think, very helpful. I learned a lot too as well. So thank you so much, Lindsay, for being on our show today.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.